All right, thanks, Dan. I hope you don't mind, but these days I have to have glasses just for reading and glasses just for seeing. So now that I can read what's on my tablet, I can't see your faces at all. There's this lovely fuzz, that romantic thing they do to pictures around the edges. That's what you all look like now. So remind me later to grab those before I leave, or I'm in trouble. It's good to see you all. I missed you last week. I was really, really tired of watching the Weather Channel. I imagine some of you were as well. And every time we had a chance to leave the building, we left the building. We would go do something, just hoping to get past the craziness of being stuck in the house watching the news, deciding this moment we have to do this, and 4 hours later that we have to do that, and 4 hours after that. It was exhausting. It's nice to be here with you. This morning we begin a sermon series called Healthy, Intimate, Covenant Community. Why do I have all those qualifying words before the word community? Because if I'm not careful, we'll use the word community the way we do in general in English, which means in proximity to. In the neighborhood, you're part of the community. In the Coronado community, not just the community we make in ourselves, but being participants in the community of Beachside and of New Smyrna Beach, we take seriously this community connection we have. But community in the New Testament sense has a deeper, richer meaning, and I don't want us to lose that. I hope to say this phrase enough times through the course of this sermon series that when you think of the word community, you will think of the words healthy and intimate and covenant. And maybe a few other words we decide on as we go, because I don't stand up here today pretending to know all the dynamics we're thinking about related to the kind of community that church is meant to be. The problem is our lives are so busy and so many distractions take place that we lose the focus on what the true values that we're called to be a part of. Intimate, healthy, intimate covenant community is part of our calling as church. I hope that we can distinguish healthy community from some kinds of community that some churches have been in the past. There's a movement afoot these days where lots of younger folks are not joining the church as we know it because it doesn't feel healthy and authentic. And so we want to look at the truest values that we can't throw out. We don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, but there's some bathwater that we need to let go of, that we need to move past. What is the value? What is it that the New Testament points us towards and says, this is who you're supposed to be together? It's really interesting that we use the phrase, and this was planned before the hurricane. The phrase in Scripture said, and they sold all of their stuff so that they could give to folks in need. And then you see pictures of the Bahamas, and Lord, we ought to be selling all of our stuff if we're living into that model. I'm not suggesting that. But I do feel this awareness that I've got to give in a place differently this week than I did a few weeks ago. And we'll talk about that at the offering. This morning, I really want to start with the why this discussion about community is important. First of all, let me say it's biblical. Community is biblical. I would contend that healthy, intimate, covenant community is a mandate from Jesus and Paul and all the other writers of the New Testament. The word in the New Testament is a word you may have heard. It's the Greek word koinonia. Anybody hear the word koinonia before? Anybody hear it in relation to Jimmy Carter's place? No? Okay. I'm going to use the new encyclopedia that we have these days, Wikipedia, to give you a little definition of koinonia. You can look this up and see that I'm not making this up. Koinonia comes from the Greek word koinonia, which refers to fellowship or communion, joint participation, the share which one has in anything, a gift jointly contributed, a collection, a contribution. It identifies the idealized state of fellowship and unity that should exist within the Christian church, the body of Christ. So when we say koinonia, we are aiming for being the body of Christ. The term communion is derived from the Latin communio. Where's Martha? Is Martha in here? She can explain this more clearly if I have to, which in Latin meant sharing in common. Not just proximity. There's a richer thing here. The Wikipedia goes on to say, the essential meaning of koinonia embraces concepts conveyed in the English terms community, communion, joint participation, sharing, and intimacy. Koinonia can therefore refer in some context to a jointly contributed gift. The word appears 19 times in most editions of the Greek New Testament. And the New American Standard Bible, it is translated fellowship 12 times, sharing 3 times, and participation and contribution twice each. So there's something to this. It's not a direct movement from the word koinonia to the word community the way we use it today. Koinonia appears nowhere in the ancient Greek translation of the Old Testament. It sometimes has a secular significance, as in the case of the in Scripture, as in the case of the partnership between fishermen spoken of in Luke 5. Let's see. It's used a couple of different ways in the King James Version, in not just as a noun, so but not in more recent translations. There is a sense in which koinonia has a sacramental meaning. The word communion flows out of koinonia. This is the full meaning of Eucharistic koinonia in the early Catholic Church. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote, "The Eucharist is the sacrament of the unity of the church, which results from the fact that many are one in Christ." Our oneness, our unity, our connection, koinonia, community. I believe it is central to being the church, the body of Christ. I believe it is critical. I think it's one of those places that allows us to incarnate God, to put God's unity, connection, and relationship into flesh when we do things in common. We become the body of Christ and we show God in the world. Why healthy, intimate covenant community? Because I think that if we don't talk about those pieces individually, we get off course from understanding the word known as koinonia. I'm open to more thoughts. So as we go through this sermon series, if you have things that pop in your mind, feel free to share them with me. Generally not on Sunday morning as you leave, because I remember the last thing somebody tells me. So whoever tells me the last person that I run into as I'm leaving the building, that's the one I'll remember. So write it down and slip me a piece of paper or send me an email or something like that. But I think these are important qualifiers so that we can distinguish true fellowship from fake community, community in name only. Part of the reason I want to focus on it is because I've seen church done poorly so badly for so long that I think it's critical that we change the course. Why healthy? Because we have seen some unhealthy community inside and outside the church. Why intimate? Because we cannot just give fellowship lip service. It must be authentic and not superficial. Why covenant? Because our relationship with God is promise and commitment based. We do not get to forget it when we move to some more convenient lifestyle of me first or my way at all cost lifestyle. I don't know whether we'll talk much about virtual church, but there are people trying to figure out how to do church on the internet that they never see each other. I'm not sure how I feel about that yet. It doesn't seem like that's going to go well inside me, though. I'm not sure how virtual church or TV church can move you towards healthy, intimate covenant community. So I want you to begin thinking of examples of healthy, intimate covenant community that you participate in. Amy gave us a great starting point for us to start to consider where it is that we fit in. It's a non-judgmental but mutual accountability kind of group. It's love, real love without enabling kind of group. It's non-toxic service and caring. It's about really helping others, not just doing stuff so I feel good about what I'm doing. It's serving others. Sometimes in the church, we have worked hard to create community, and what we've done is we've said, you got to join a small group. And so we try to manufacture community, and if you've noticed, those don't work very well. But organic groups that kind of just blossom and grow where they're planted do all kinds of amazing things. And we have examples of those here. I believe that these kind of pieces of community have to be organic to last in the long run. So once again, I'm going to tell you that this is all about relationships. There's something about Trinity, understanding God as Trinity, that puts us in a place of understanding koinonia and community differently. Words like family and team and club and circle and cell group, band of brothers, homecoming, close friendships. I felt a sense of community at concerts where everybody could sing all the words to all the songs. Mission trips put you in this almost automatic community building routine. Where do you experience deep, intimate connection with others? Choir? Boutique? In North Carolina, when I was growing up in the ministry, there was a sense of community in the kitchen, and there was a sense of community on the porch. Women were always in the kitchen, and the men were on the porch, but there was a sense of community that was developed in both of those places, and people fit in deeply with each other there. These days, some coffee shops see the same customers day in, day out, to the point where they know each other and wonder when they're missing. And some days at church, we don't know each other well enough to know when someone's missing. Yesterday was the free saltwater fishing day, and my mother-in-law had said that she wanted to go fishing again. So yesterday we went fishing. And while we were fishing, we could overhear a group of, I'm going to guess, guys in their 70s were sitting there. They weren't fishing because they had fished all day yesterday, and they didn't feel like fishing. But they came down to this place to hang out. While we were sitting there, somebody walked by and said, I didn't know whether you were going to be fishing. I'm not fishing today, but I brought you cookies for your birthday. Oh, my gosh. We were sitting there fishing, and church happened behind us. This sense of connection with each other, this awareness of who each other are. And it was pretty amazing. Where do you find deep, intimate connection with others? It does not mean we're supposed to think alike. Otherwise, all of our communities would be a group of one. It's not that we have to act alike. Boy, would the world be boring if you all acted like me. And it would be very exciting if we acted like some of you. Just teasing. I do think it means we're supposed to love alike. Modeled on Jesus, we are called to have the same love outlook on the world as God does. This is not a mere abstract theological value. This is part of the nature of creation. I don't believe you have to be a Christ follower to know that this is part of how humanity is designed. this sense of wanting to belong to something that we see just almost immediately in little human beings. This desire to be accepted, be part of the club, is a reminder that connection is a divine and sacred part of who we are. That love, deep, intimate connection, is the plan God has for humanity. I don't believe our discussion about community, about koinonia, about fellowship is going to be some magic bullet that means none of us are going to ever have suffering or pain again. Since fellowship and community is related to love, I think it's pretty certain that there's going to be some pain and some suffering. Healthy, intimate, covenant community certainly requires vulnerability. It will include a noticeable lack of control for all of us who are control freaks. At best, we'll have shared control. And there will be some times where it feels like we have zero control at all. That can still be community. And I don't believe that if you have to have control of everything, that you can experience true community. So I invite you to think about it, pray about it, reflect about it, try to practice koinonia, healthy, intimate, covenant community together for some time this fall. Let me plant a few other word seeds to help the growing process. As you're thinking about community, think connection, think gentle, think listening. And I want to close with a story that kind of hints at the purpose behind this call that God has in the New Testament for us to be in fellowship. There's a story, it's often used by preachers, of a preacher who went to visit a parishioner who had not been attending worship recently. If I did that for all the folks who haven't been recently, I'd spend all of my time visiting people. But I couldn't do this story because most of us don't have the right house set up. Near the beginning of the visit, the parishioner wondered if he really needed to attend to be a good Christian. As they kept talking, the preacher took one of the burning embers out of the fireplace and put it on the hearth. They continued talking for some time, and as they began to wrap up the conversation and their visit, the preacher circled back to the question of whether or not a Christian needed to attend worship to be part of a community. And he pointed to the now cold ember and reflected on how it was hot and heat-producing in the company of other embers. But by itself, it could not maintain its warmth. He said, it is like that with many Christians. Without the fellowship of others working to love one another and work God's plan, most of us lose our heat and our purpose. It is really hard to be a Christ follower, a member of the body of Christ in isolation. Maybe saying Christ follower in isolation, maybe that phrase is oxymoronic. Even monks who live in silence live in community. It's as simple as this to me. Love requires others. I want to live and preach the New Testament as faithfully as possible. And that is why we will look at koinonia in the New Testament and work to create healthy, intimate covenant community here at Coronado Community United Methodist Church. That is who we say we are. That is who God intends us to be. Let's aim at that. As an act of community, I invite you to stand as we affirm our faith together using the modern affirmation. This puts us in connection with Christ followers across the globe. With one voice and one mind, let us affirm our faith together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of man, gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Glory be to God.